Hello and welcome to the PS5 Central Podcast, where it's just me alone today. So for those of you listening, it is just Jordan today, rocking it solo because Mike is currently moving into his house and Dan is still on a little bit of a hiatus. So it is just going to be JT rocking your airwaves this evening, this morning, this afternoon, whenever it is you're listening to this podcast and whenever this goes live. Going to bring you some of the news that's come out in the last week or so. We apologize for the delay in getting these episodes out. We're hoping now to be in a bit more of a rhythm so we can continue bringing you the news you need to know about the PlayStation 5 and everything about it. So yeah, I'll be giving a bit of the main talking points from the week, the things that have stuck out to me the most as I put the news together this evening, as well as what I've been playing, because I've been playing a little bit as we enter the crazy end to the year with a myriad, you could say, of awesome games coming out. So I'll be giving you my impressions of what I've played up until this point in the last few weeks or so since we've been gone. But yeah, let's get right into it. Might start with the news first. So as I sit here recording this one now, it is a special holiday that will be celebrated for years to come. And it's known as Ragnarok Eve. We sit here the night before God of War Ragnarok goes live. In a few hours, it'll be officially live for people to play and download digitally at least. And then tomorrow in stores, it'll be available. We know that there's already been some review scores go up from preview people who had early access coverage, which is great for them. So yeah, my hype levels couldn't be higher. This is seriously like Christmas Eve for me. I'm really, really excited for tomorrow. Can't wait to get work out of the way and get it done so that I can be home, sitting down, and then just Ragnarok it for the night. I have gone extremely radio silent on this one. I've barely watched anything. I was watching TV the other day and accidentally, without even realizing it, watched one of the TV spots that had a character that we hadn't seen before that is obviously going to be in it. It's probably not too much of a surprise if you're familiar with Norse mythology and had any idea of where the sequel to God of War 2018 was going to go. We had a feeling this was going to happen because it's a character who's important to the story of Ragnarok in general. So yeah, I'm completely radio silent. I am staying off YouTube as there is spoilers aplenty, apparently. With people who have had early access and are posting it. I'm staying away from any comments. I'm staying away from Twitter because the last thing I want to do is get this thing spoiled. According to Dan, who has been spoiled by a few things, some of these spoils are Blades of Chaos level of spoilers. And those of you who know what I mean, know what I mean. So I'm staying way clear of that. The last thing I want is to have anything of this spoiled because most of all, the thing we want out of Ragnarok is we want to be surprised and we want to be shocked by the things that happen. And that's what made, that was an important factor of God of War 2018. What made it so amazing was the shock. We weren't expecting the game to be as meaningful, to be as emotional, to be as redefining of the franchise as it was. And I think that's what we're hoping for here. And, you know, I have read some snippets and summaries of some reviews, which we'll talk about in just a second, because the game has been reviewing extremely well. I'm reading from a story from Push Square at the moment, and its title is that God of War Ragnarok equals ridiculously high review rating of its predecessor, with both of them sitting at a 94 aggregate score on Metacritic, which is insane. It makes God of War Ragnarok the highest rated PS5 game to date. That's including Elden Ring. So it's the highest rated game on the PS5. It has 123 scores, while the first game, God of War 2018, had 118. So as the weeks move on, I'm sure that score tally will total. I'm assuming the score may go up. It could go down if it gets some nines and some eights or whatever. But at the moment, it is sitting at a 94 and it could go up if it got some tens. I might quickly head over to Metacritic just so I can give you the breakdown of what most of the scores are in terms of what outlets have given it what score. So let me just give me 1 second while I pull this up as we do this live for you. So heading over there, so it's now at 125 votes, with 94 score still there with universal acclaim. It is all 125 are all positive. We have places like Twinfinite, IGN Japan, MGG, Tierra Gamer. Just IGN and Twinfinite giving it a 10 or 100. Then we have places like MGG 95, Tierra Gamer 92, Power Unlimited 90. At the moment, it looks like Digital Trends, whatever that place is, has given it an 80. And that looks like it might be the lowest score so far. But it is universally positive. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. The reviews are universally positive, which is super exciting. It makes me even more excited to play this. I'll never forget. I'm sure I've told the story before on the potty, but when God of War 2018 came out and these reviews were coming out about how good it was, I couldn't believe it. I was very, very skeptic about like why, not that the God of War games in the past haven't been universally well-received, because most of them have been, but it wasn't critically looked upon as a masterpiece. It was like, oh yeah, big boss battles, Kratos is an angry dude, quick time events, yeah, whatever. But this one was one that had set the standard for what a really good, well, not a really good, a masterpiece of a narrative in video games looks like. And I remember playing it and going, where are people getting this score from? How is this getting? I remember playing it at the start, God of War 2018, going, I don't understand this score. Why is it getting all this positive praise? And then it gets to a point where all I'll say is, for those of you who haven't played it, when that map opens up and you go, oh, right. And then it's the little things you don't notice until towards the end, at least for me, like how the camera never cuts. It is one shot the entire time. The journey that Kratos and Atreus go on during their adventure to get their goal. And every time you think, okay, we're there, we're gonna achieve our goal. Nope, not quite there yet. Need to go back and do something else. And it never felt like, oh my God, do I really have to go and do this? It was always, all right, Ripper, who are we going to meet? What are we going to see? Who are we going to fight on the way there? I'm looking forward to see what surprises Ragnarok has in store for us in terms of characters we meet, in terms of things from Kratos' past that might pop up again. Because that was one of the shock elements of the previous one, was things from his past that popped up. And I wonder whether we'll get more than just a tease than we did in the first one with Kratos' journey to get his blades and when we went to Helheim. I wonder what that's going to be like. And I'm so excited to see like realms we didn't see. Like we didn't see Asgard. What's Asgard going to look like when we get there? We've seen nothing of it in preview footage. Like I have an idea of what Asgard might look like in my head, but it's probably nothing like what I'm thinking, which excites me greatly. The length of it, if I quickly jump over to how long to beat, in terms of how long it's clocking in, there was word that it'd be about 30 to 40 hours. So how long to beat has the main story average of being about 22 hours if you are just main pathing it or golden pathing it. The main quest and the sides are about 28 hours with a completionist playthrough putting you at about 53 and a half hours, which is a hefty game. Let me just get a sip of water here. Pardon me. So we're looking at a pretty hefty game there, which is really, really exciting. I'm hoping that they can innovate a little bit on the side quests that we did have in God of War 2018 to make them a little bit more meaningful and maybe to introduce us to characters that maybe don't fall into the main story, the main narrative that's being built, and can somehow we can get some interesting characters and interesting twists and stories that way through the side quests. That's my hope anyway. If I had to say my one thing that I want to be completely shocked by the twists that are coming. Like we all have in our mind that like at the end of the thing, the end of 2018, there was that panel, that painting on the wall. When we get to that end and it's, okay, this is what's going to happen. They're showing us what's going to happen in Ragnarok. And I'm speaking very cryptically because I don't want to spoil it for people. But for those who know, you know, there was a painting. And it was like, this is what we were being it was inferred that this is what's going to happen in the next game. And I feel like that's intentional because they want us to think that and they're going to try and swerve us. I could be sitting here 2 weeks from now with the game finished and being like, oh, wow, no, they did exactly what they said they were going to do, but they faked us out a few times along the way. But it'll be interesting to see where the franchise of God of War goes after this. We know that there was teasers of other gods and other mythologies in the first one. Where is this going to take us from here? It's all super exciting. Is this going to be lead us off into another realm? Are we going to be going off into another mythology? Who knows? But it's an exciting time to be a PlayStation gamer nonetheless. So I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts. We'll do a God of War Ragnarok review episode a few weeks from now, maybe in the next week or so, once myself and Vike and Dan have had a bit of a chance to play. Maybe not once we're finished, because we're obviously adults. We've got busy lives. So we don't have all the time in the world to dedicate to playing it, but I'm sure that once we've got enough of an idea of where we're going with the game and where our thoughts are, we'll be happy to bring to you. And we'll be happy to hear from you as well, which you can get us at PS5 Central Instagram and Twitter, I believe. But let's jump into our next story of another game that's come out recently and is blowing all sorts of records. And that is Call of Duty MW2 2022 edition. So it's breaking all sorts of sales records. You can insert various different statements and they're all true. It's the highest selling Call of Duty. It's the fastest selling Call of Duty. It's got the most players up until this point. It's got all this sort of stuff. So lots of people are playing it. They're cashing in on the nostalgia, and not in a bad way, cashing in on the nostalgia of the Modern Warfare 2 name and the characters like Ghost and Price and Gaz and all that. So they're cashing in on all that, which is fantastic. But we do have a bit of an insight into what's actually going to happen with the game next year. So Microsoft famously bought Activision Blizzard for a whopping, I think it was like $7 billion, something like that. It was a lot of money. And there was talk, as soon as that was announced, I mean, it hasn't completely gone through yet, but when that was announced, it wasn't long after that it came out that Microsoft was saying no more annualized games. Treyarch will be the next one to make a COD game, and it'll come out in 2024. That left us with thinking, what is going to happen in 2023? Are we just going to get... We've obviously got Warzone 2 coming out in the next few weeks. I think that's 1 week from tomorrow we get Warzone 2. But what does the rest of the MW2 multiplayer suite look like for 2023? Is it just going to be map packs and weapon packs? What's the go? We have a bit of an update here from both Jason Schreier and Charlie Intel. So next year, there is going to be a premium Call of Duty release. That is what Jason is saying. What that premium release is, according to Jason, is it's going to be a premium paid expansion by Sledgehammer. So for those of you who don't know, there are three main Call of Duty studios that work on Call of Duty. And the way that it's been working the last few years is they work on a three-year cycle where they each take turns releasing one each year. So it would go Infinity Ward, Treyarch, Sledgehammer, I believe. Sledgehammer was taken off developing their own title, I believe, after Vanguard. And now they are just responsible for Warzone support and that sort of thing. It now looks like it's going to be Infinity Ward who have brought us MW2. I would suggest that now that Sledgehammer is going to be looking at making this premium expansion for 2023, that Infinity Ward will then go and look to make Modern Warfare 3 with a Treyarch game coming out in 2024. And you could assume that the MW3 from Infinity Ward would come out in 2026, for argument's sake, because it doesn't look like it's going to be every year we'll be getting one. So this premium expansion, according to Jason, is supposed to have lots of content. Maybe that's why they're calling it a full premium release, because it's going to have lots and lots of content, whether that's maps, game modes, more story content, because we know that people are in love with these MW characters, whether it's weapons, maps, whatever it is. There's going to be a lot of content, and it's going to be a premium one. I don't know whether it is a full priced release, and it doesn't look like there's too much confirmation on that. And this is all scuttlebutt from Jason anyway, who's a well-respected games journalist. But yeah, that's what we're looking at the moment. So this is really exciting. I'll get to my thoughts on MW2 at the end of the episode, because I have been playing the multiplayer portion of it. I haven't actually touched any of the single player stuff yet. but the multiplayer stuff I have been playing, and I'll save my thoughts for later. But yeah, at the moment it's going gangbusters. So no surprise there. Call of Duty is a juggernaut, always will be a juggernaut. How many games have we seen come out? Like Destiny was supposed to be the COD killer. Battlefield was supposed to be the COD killer. Titanfall, Apex Legends, Fortnite. Nothing's killing COD. COD's staying around for the long haul. So yeah. Moving on to the next one, though. This is a really quick one we'll just touch on. So the next Final Fantasy 16 is to be a PS5 exclusive for 6 months. So I'm reading from Push Square as I take another drink of water while I wait for this to load. Pardon me. So yeah, Sony confirms that it will be a PS5 exclusive for 6 months. Whether that means... It looks like it will. What that means is it will be available on another platform one day. Which platform that is, though, I'm not sure. Square Enix has had a very good working relationship with PlayStation. I would suggest that the other platform this will come to is PC. I don't know whether it will come to Xbox. I'm not familiar enough with the Final Fantasy franchise to say whether it's going to come out on another. Like whether any other Final Fantasy games have gone to Xbox or not, but with all the stuff that PlayStation's been doing and Sony's been doing with pushing games to PC, I would suggest that it's going to go to PC. So Final Fantasy 16 will be coming there. Apparently the game's 95% done. So we should be getting a release date pretty soon with some final touch-ups and polishing needing to be done for the game before we get a release date. I don't know. Let's see what happens when in terms of when this gets released. Where could we see a release date announced? Well, I think a month from now we have Jeff Keighley's Video Game Awards. I would say that's where we get a final trailer and the release date. It seems like a pretty safe bet. If I'm not wrong, I think that might have been where we saw it for the first time to begin with. If it wasn't there, I think it might have been a PlayStation showcase in 2021 or 2020. I don't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting for Final Fantasy fans. This one looks really good. I keep saying cashing in. It's not cashing in, but it's really trying to latch onto that, the mainstream popularity of medieval fantasy at the moment. So obviously House of the Dragon has gone gangbusters. Game of Thrones was obviously a juggernaut for pop culture, entertainment, that sort of thing. It's sort of clinging on and like... falling into that little slipstream of entertainment where it's got a bit of a medieval vibe. It has me interested. I've the only Final Fantasy I've played is Final Fantasy VII, the remake, but this one has me interested. It's still got like the, I don't know what they are. They're like the, I can't even think what their names are. They're like those big, big bosses that I feel like sound like such a noob. They're like those big bosses that have been in like every Final Fantasy game ever, which seemed like that's just a recurring theme, recurring gameplay element in Final Fantasy games. So they're going to be in it in some way. And it's got a really cool vibe. It's got a really cool main character. And they continue to innovate on the combat system, which is exciting that they started to innovate on with Final Fantasy. I want to say like Lightning Returns, which was Final Fantasy 13. And then in 15, they really went like almost full Devil May Cry mode, where it was really fast-paced action combat. But we'll see how we go. Next up on the news, we've got some PlayStation VR 2 news. So we actually got a release date and the price reveal. And boy, howdy, hold on to your hats because she's an expensive one. So this is in Australian dollars that I'll be reading to you now. And I can find the American pricing for those worldwide listeners, which might be easier for you to convert over, but it will be coming out, the PlayStation VR 2, on February 22nd, 2023, with pre-orders to start on November the 15th, which is about a week from now. The price for the bundle that is just your PlayStation VR headset, Sense controllers, and stereo headphones is, and this is in Australian dollars, which I can get the US pricing in a minute, it is 879 Aussie dollars. I believe that puts it at more expensive than the PlayStation 5 console itself. The other bundle you can get is the Horizon Call of the Mountain bundle, which is $959, which includes all those things I said before, the headset, the controllers, the headphones, and you get the game with it. So for an extra, what's that, $80? So she's expensive. Let me quickly get you the American pricing, which will, as I said, will be more probably convertible for people outside of Australia. So it's a $549 price point for the PSVR 2. Now, I'll come out and say this now. I'm not getting this. I'm super happy for the people who are. And this definitely has an audience. Like VR in general has an audience, but this just isn't for me. I look back on the VR that I bought. I bought the original VR. I was a day one adopter and I loved it. Really, really loved my time with it. I don't see it as a waste of money. I look at all the times that I got friends and family to play it. I look at all the fun I had with the different games that I wouldn't normally play that I was trying out and experiencing. I really liked my time with it. I still have it. I still have games I want to play. Like I haven't played Job Simulator. I'd love to play Rick and Morty. I haven't played Trover Saves the World. I'd love to give Iron Man another go. I'd love to play Astrobot again. I haven't played Moss. Would love to give that a go. I haven't played Moss 2. But it's such an ordeal to set that thing up. And I know it's easier. Like this is supposed to be easier. There's one cord. It's not as many things you need to plug in. It's going to play better. It's going to look better. There's all that sort of thing. But I don't think I'm at a stage now where I can afford this. I can justify that price. And I don't feel like I'm going to get the use out of it that I might have in the past. So this one's not going to be for me. I'd love to hear Dan and Vike's thoughts about this. We haven't actually chatted about it. I asked Dan about this in the chat before, and he said, lol, PSVR 2 is a snooze fest. So I don't think he's too keen on it. But this definitely has an audience, and I don't think this is too expensive because there will be people who pay this and they're going to be your day one adopters. Almost the same audience who got it before, like who got the PlayStation VR first. It's almost the same audience. There will be some people who have moved on, but there will be some new people who will slot right up into that who will get it. We need to remember that when the PSVR first came out, Sony didn't make enough. They said, we've underestimated how many people actually want to try this. So there definitely is an audience there. And while it's not a massive audience, it's still an audience nonetheless. This isn't like the old Sony. If we look at the PSP, the PS Vita, they dropped those things as soon as they stopped selling. Like all support was dropped. Your PS4 wouldn't even pick up your PS Vita. It would not recognize it at all. So this is a different Sony now. Support was there for PlayStation VR. It wasn't first party support, but there was still support there. There were still games coming out. And I feel like as soon as they were like, all right, PSVR 2 is it's on the horizon now. Instead of doing PSVR 1 games, let's move ahead. Let's do PSVR 2 games. And that's why we have a studio like Guerrilla doing a Horizon Call of the Mountain. I guarantee you one of the three of Naughty Dog, Sony Santa Monica, or Sucker Punch will be doing, if not all of them, at least one of them will be doing a VR game that will come out in the first 2 years of the PSVR 2 life cycle. It already has a pretty strong launch to PlayStation VR 2. If we look at, they've also announced some more launch games. So if we quickly go over there, and we look at what launch games have been announced. So the PlayStation blog dropped another post and they listed 11 new games that will be coming out on the PlayStation VR 2 at launch. They include Crossfire Sierra Squad, The Light Brigade, Cities VR Enhanced Edition, Cosmonius High, Hello Neighbor Search and Rescue, Jurassic World Aftermath Collection, Pistol Whip VR, Zenith The Last City, After the Fall, Tentacular, and The Dark Pictures Switchback VR. There have some other games that have been announced as well. There's supposed to be about 20 games that will be available at launch. The one thing that this has going against it is that it's not backwards. I don't remember if you report on this. VR 2 is not backwards compatible with VR 1 games, which is a shame, but I would suggest that the games that you are going to want to play again on your VR2 that you did on your VR1, like your Astrobots, your Tetris Effects, your Beat Sabers, your Moss, those sort of things, they will have PS5 updates or PSVR 2 updates, pardon me. They will have some sort of update that will get you to play, be able to play this probably for free on your VR2. Because why would they not want you to do that? They want people to buy the VR2 and be able to play games. I would suggest that that's something that's going to happen. I don't know for a fact. I just think it makes sense for them to do that. It's not going to be for every game. It's not going to be for like a zombie. What was the game I played? It was like a zombie Dead Hungry is what it was called. And it was like you in a, like a little bodega and you'd have to feed the zombies so they wouldn't, they'd turn back to being humans and that sort of thing. You're not going to get that. Your bigger, your upper echelon of games, maybe even an Iron Man VR, you are going to get in with a VR2 update. But that's the VR2 landscape as it stands. The pre-orders will open in the next week or so. I'm sure we'll have a report on how those pre-orders are going. And as we get closer to that launch, I'm sure we'll have even more coverage that we can provide to you. But because it's not something that seems like it's immediately going to fall into our wheelhouse, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, I don't think, as a news podcast, but we'll definitely bring to you those things that we think are important to know for those people who are interested. But let's quickly move on to one of our last two pieces of news for the day, and we'll quickly touch on this one. So PS Plus Premium gets an even stronger lineup with 5 Ratchet games to join the tier this month. Now, this should be taken with a bit of a grain of salt because these are PS3 remasters. So they will not be coming, as far as I understand, they will not be coming to the deluxe tier, which we have here in Australia. It'll only be the premium tier, as we don't have the PS3 backwards compatibility stuff here yet, I'm pretty sure. So the games that'll be coming anyway, for those of you who are sort of more in the America side of things, is Ratchet & Clank, Ratchet & Clank Going Commando, Ratchet & Clank Up Your Arsenal, Ratchet & Clank Deadlocked, and Ratchet & Clank Future Tools of Destruction. So alongside this, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, which is a PS5 game that came out last year, will be getting an update as a part of the 20th anniversary celebration, which includes 5 new armor sets for Ratchet and Rivet based on different games in the series history. Oh, that just reminded me of Rivet. What a character she was. Please, God, give us a Ratchet and Rivet game next from Insomniac. That's on my wish list for sure. And then our last news story of the day, which I'll also sort of quickly touch on, I'm reading from GameSpot here. EA has signed a new deal with Marvel Games for a 3-game contract. So EA will be producing 3 new games for Marvel Games that will be coming out in the future. So apparently the reason for this, EA says, and Marvel has said, that the reason this was happening is the Star Wars deal that EA signed with Lucasfilms was extremely successful. Now, they know better than us. They're the ones who count the coins and count the pennies that come in from that deal. Look, from an outside looking in, you would say, okay, we got Battlefront and we got Battlefront 2, which Battlefront 1 was sort of disappointing. And then Battlefront 2 obviously had the microtransaction nonsense. Then we had Star Wars Squadrons, which was the dogfighting game, which had the VR component, which wasn't universally well received. But then we did get Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and we are getting Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Jedi Fallen Order was a gem of a game. One of my personal favorites from that year. I believe that was the year that Death Stranding came out. And I think I liked Death Stranding just a little bit more than Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, but Fallen Order was number 2 for me that year. I believe that was 2019. It was an outstanding game. Extremely satisfying lightsaber combat, a really cool protagonist in Cal Kestis, and a really cool story that had us going across all these planets that we'd either heard of or seen before, but seeing them and exploring them in different ways, which is really cool. So, yeah, so EA will be producing 3 new Marvel games. There has been talk of an open world EA Black Panther game. those talks and those rumors were sort of simmered down a little bit when Amy Hennig Studio, whose name I'm forgetting now, is it Crossfire Studios? Let's find out. Let's go on a bit of a journey here, team. Amy Hennig, Marvel game. It's not Crossfire. It's Skydance. So Amy Hennig Skydance Studios are working on a Captain America and Black Panther game set in World War II. So when that was announced, there was a bit of those rumors of an EA open world Black Panther game were sort of put on the back burner. But because the Captain America and Black Panther game is set in World War II, my thought would be that you can have that game happen in World War II and you can have an EA open world Black Panther game happen in modern day, set in Wakanda, set in wherever you want it to be, well, you know, to be based a bit in Wakanda, but in modern day is what I'm trying to say. So I wouldn't I wouldn't cast too many dispersions on that rumor. I would suggest that rumor could still come true. What other games could they work on? Well, could we be looking at like a first-person shooter perhaps from EA coming from Respawn Studios? We could have a first-person shooter Punisher game, for example. That'd be really sick. I'd play that for sure. Could we have some sort of a Daredevil game? That's what I thought Skydance Studios were going to be doing. But obviously with his new Disney Plus series coming out in the next year or so, he's obviously come back into the limelight after appearing in She-Hulk, and it looks like he's going to be moving into the MCU limelight. Now would be a good time to make a game from him. Personally, I would love to see a game that is highlighting the lesser known characters of the Marvel Universe. Like, it'd be sick if we did get a not that he's a lesser known character, but like, let's get a really good Deadpool game. We got a bit of a go at it in 2013 or 14. We got a very average Deadpool game. It'd be great if we could get a really good one. Can we get like a team-based X-Men game that we haven't ever seen? But please God, don't give us Avengers. Please do not give us Ubisoft or Crystal Dynamics Avengers again. No more MMOs. Let's keep it tight. Let's keep it single player. Let's keep it narrative based. That's where we want to be with these characters. No more MMOs, live service game nonsense. Let's keep it strictly narrative based. Let's keep it strictly based on how much we love these characters, and let's move on from there. So it is really exciting. EA's had a bit of a questionable, history. Obviously, the Star Wars deal from the outside looking in wasn't that successful, but I'm sure all the people counting all the money in the back would dispute those facts. Only time will tell how this goes. I would assume EA have learned their lesson a little bit and will know to treat this the Marvel IP with a little bit more respect and reverence than perhaps they did the Star Wars one before Fallen Order, that is. All right, so I want to quickly talk to you about what I've been playing. I have played two things recently that are new releases that I'd love to get my impressions on. So the first thing I played is, I'll start with MW2. So I've been playing Modern Warfare 2, the multiplayer component exclusively. I haven't touched any of the single player content yet. I will in due time for sure. I just haven't got to it yet. This is how I normally do Call of Duty games. I don't usually, the campaign is not something I usually gravitate to first. I'm usually a multiplayer dude with Call of Duty because the campaign's like usually fine, but nothing groundbreaking. I know you know what you're going to get. You're going to get an action movie with some characters that are sort of endearing. There's a lot of like blockbuster set pieces, that sort of thing. We get it. The multiplayer, though, I've really been enjoying. I haven't actually enjoyed a Call of Duty multiplayer since, a long time. With the exception of Warzone, it's been a long time since I've consistently played a Call of Duty multiplayer, a standard 6v6 multiplayer. And this is the longest I've played it in a long, long time. And I've really, really been enjoying it. It's not the same as when I used to play back in high school or just coming out of high school, playing like Black Ops 2 and that sort of thing. It is a very different game now. The maps are designed so differently. The time to kill in this one's really quick. The kill streaks are nowhere near as effective as they used to be. There's lots more cover for people to hide from kill streaks too. So it is a completely different game. the focus on you getting a really good kill death ratio, which is what really, if we think about it, what the pub stomping culture of old Call of Duties was about, that's gone now. In so many, I'm sure this is not news to most of you, but you can't see KD in these games anymore. They don't want you thinking about your KD. You can't even check your overall KD, not just your KD in a game. You can't even check your KD overall. There's no combat record. You can't even check your win-loss ratio. They just want you playing and having fun. Some would argue that that's hard with the skill-based matchmaking that they have in place. I was someone who hated skill-based matchmaking. I was like, why can't I just play against randoms? Why do I have to play against people my skill level? I want to be able to stomp noobs and pub stomp and do all this sort of thing and get high, like get high kill streaks, you know, get finish 100 for one death and be super happy with myself because I, you know, stomped on Timmy No Thumbs 100 times in a game. I'm someone who's completely past that argument now. And I think like the argument for like, oh, if you want to play against people your own skill level, go play rank play. Yeah, well, that doesn't work for, you know, for Timmy No Thumbs, who's new to the game. How is he going to learn to get better by continuously getting stomped? And it sounds super entitled when you're someone who's been like, why do I have to play against people my skill level? Why can't I play against these people? So I've moved on from that argument now. I don't care about skill-based matchmaking. It is whatever. If you're going to put me against people my skill level, I'm going to take it as a compliment because some of these people I'm playing are very, very good. I have had, managed to have some good games. I've been playing with same people I played Warzone with, so Harrison, Ryan, and one of their mates, Callum, so shout out to them. Been really enjoying it. And I'm assuming I'm going to continue playing it for the not-so-distant future. The thing that will probably get in the way of that will be A, God of War. As soon as that comes out, that's where all my attention will be going. And B, we are a week out from Warzone 2. And I'm really, really excited for what that might hold. I have so many fond memories of playing Warzone during like lockdown, basically, during the pandemic when, you know, we couldn't go outside and like wasn't going to work. So was able to stay up late. And so many fond memories of those late nights playing Warzone, trying to get that dub. It was a lot of fun. I'm hoping we can recapture some of that magic when Warzone 2 drops. I know it's going to be different. It's not going to be Verdansk, as much as I love that map. As long as it's not Caldera, because that map was hot trash. As long as it's not that, I think I'm going to be happy. I know that they've added some different things in. Like we've got like NPCs in the game now. There's different zones that people can dominate to get different points. And getting loadouts is a different thing now. Like I totally get that. But I'm super excited for what it's going to look like and what it's going to shake out to be. And yeah, I'm really enjoying MW2 at the moment. I'm not quite at the stage where I'm like, oh, I need to play it every time I get home. I need to be on it, but I am enjoying it. And the time that I'm jumping on there to play it, I'm enjoying myself. I'm definitely having moments of, you know, being angry at like, oh, why did that? I got killed through the wall. Why is that happening? But generally, I'm enjoying myself, which I think is really positive. Next up, the other thing I've been playing, and this is what we'll finish on. Been playing A Plague Tale Requiem. So I played the original A Plague Tale Innocence just before this one came out. So I did it on my school holidays a few weeks ago. And I think it was a free PlayStation Plus game, maybe even a year ago. And I'd heard so many people since this game came out saying it's a hidden gem. People, you need to play it to get it. It's not just like a whole bunch of rats. There's characters that you are being attached to. There's a narrative that makes sense. It's quite a heavy narrative. It's got some really morbid themes throughout it. And all those things are pretty much true. So the new one has come out. It's a continuation of Hugo and Amicia's story. And they are two people in, I think it's like the mid-1300s in France. And without giving too much away, there's a bit of a rat plague going on. And somehow these rats are intertwined with the fate of Amicia and Hugo. And as we move through this story, you are encountering new characters. You are going to new and beautiful locales. As much as the game has struggled a little bit with performing on the PlayStation 5, it is still quite a pretty game. It's nowhere near the same level of fidelity and performance that A Plague Tale Innocence had, so the predecessor. That ran really smooth and all the rats on screen looked really good and it ran at 60 frames and it was really appealing to look at. This one doesn't run quite as well, which is a real shame because there are some really nice environments that you walk through. But for the most part, you are walking through dark, dingy, disgusting environments. And that's fine. Like, that's part of the game design. That's the mood and the message they're trying to make you feel and get. But the game is basically a series of unfortunate events, the video game starring Hugo and Amicia, because they literally just go from one bad thing to another. And every time it looks like they're going to get some respite, another bad thing happens. And there's some really cool set pieces that I've seen so far, you know, involving the rats and involving you getting away from the rats with the context, make those set pieces really cool. I do like where the game's going. I'm about 3/4 of the way through at the moment, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it ends and whether there's going to be a future for this story to continue building to, and like, what is actually the point of what we're doing? Because we know what we're doing, but like, where is it leading to? What's the end goal for what's happening to our characters? So I'm looking forward to continuing to play through that. I do recommend it. It's got some stealth elements. It's got some ranged combat elements. You're doing some crafting to help you with your stealthiness. Yeah, it's definitely worth a pickup. I don't know whether it's going to be in the conversation for Game of the Year at the end of the year. We'll do another Game of the Year episode. I think we tried to do it at the start of 2020. We tried to do it at the start of the year this year for 2021 to give us a bit of time to play some games we might have missed out on. And we'll probably do that again this year. And we'll do another, we'll give our top five and then come up with our, what we think our overall 2023 Game of the Year is. I think I have my five locked in. I haven't played a few of them yet, but I think they'll be on there in some capacity, but we'll just have to wait and see. But that does bring us to the end of the episode here. I think we ran for about 40 minutes, which is pretty good for a dork like me, just, you know, yarning on for that long to a mic and his computer. So I might love you and leave you there. Happy Ragnarok week. Enjoy tomorrow. Revel in it. It's very rare that we get game launches to the magnitude of this, and we get games that are as well received as this is at the moment. I'm sure there's going to be those people out in the comments who are like, not in our comments, I'm sure, but you know, when you're feeling toxic and you start to read through the Facebook comments on game stuff, there's always those dorks who just love to give their hot takes because they think they're super important. But yeah, enjoy it. I want to hear the next time we go to record, we'll post something up on our Instagram, which you can find at PS5 Central. And we'll want to hear your thoughts on how you're going with the game so far. What are you liking? What are you not liking? That sort of thing. But yeah, I'm going to love you and leave you there. Don't forget to follow us at PS5 Central on Instagram and Twitter. Rate us 5 stars and we will see you. I can't find where's the stop recording button? This is so awkward. We will see later. PlayStation.